Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back. It seems a little strange, a little weird, after a long time being away. In parts of the afar where we were, you'd all be called China, because there were a lot of Chinese workers in the area, and the only white people those people had ever seen were Chinese people, so we got called China on a regular basis. Or in one particular area, we got called Turks, because it was a Turkish construction company building a railway, so that's how we were referred to. The other really weird thing this morning is I haven't got a translator up here with me. The last 2 weeks, every time I've spoken, there's been a translator. And for me, that works really well. Because I tend to get going quickly. And so it slowed me down and enabled me to focus and to really, connect with folks over these last couple of weeks. So I bring you greetings from Ethiopia and from believers in many different parts of the country, from up in the north in Bahardar to down in the Afar. So there's a couple of maps on the screen just so you can get a sense of where we were. So the green section there is Ethiopia and Eritrea, Djibouti, Somalia. And then here's a closer up picture of that. You can go to the next slide. And so all of those red circles is basically the areas where we were. And so all over the parts, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of those things in a few minutes. There's lots we could share about Ethiopia. Could talk about the food. And we ate far more food than I thought we were going to eat, and good food. Let me tell you one quick story. Of course, in Ethiopia, you're eating whether it's goat or chicken or spaghetti. You're eating it with injera, and so you're always using your hands and your fingers. Our second last night, we'd come into Addis late, so we couldn't stay at the guest house, and so we went to a pizza place. And they gave us knives and forks. the food that we use our fingers for, they gave us knives and forks. I could talk about the geology and some of the fascinating geology in Ethiopia. I could talk about sleeping conditions, and I'll show you a couple slides a little bit later. I could talk to you about drinks, spiced chai, delicious, coffee, of course, camel's milk. Wonderful. It's the Haagen-Dazs of milk. It's rich, it's creamy, it was wonderful. Could talk about having the privilege of being part of the largest gathering of Afar believers ever. It was about 50 believers together for 3 days. We were there for two. They were there the day before. For 3 days, had the privilege of participating in baptism of 12 Afar believers. What a joy, what a privilege. And really, it was so good to be there. And Janice and Judy were able to have a couple of sessions with some of the Afar women. And that was great. Could talk about traffic. Driving in Addis is an adventure, but driving out in the country is also an adventure when the road is jammed with cattle, or goats, or camels, or you're driving down the road and there's goats and camels and sheep and people and carts and bajajas and everything just, and two lanes get narrowed down to one, or heavy trucks passing one another going up the hill, and you're coming down the hill. It's an interesting experience. It's so difficult to summarize all that we saw and experienced. So I brought a young Afar woman to come up and share this morning. come on up, Janice. Judy was supposed to be here to share as well, but Ed phoned this morning saying that Judy's not feeling too well, so Janice has to do double duty on that.
Good morning. I don't know if I can get through this without crying. I could just be sleep deprived. I do want to say, first of all, that Judy was so blessed my going, and I'm really sorry she couldn't be here today. So please, any of you who have a chance and really want to hear, not just how was it, please find a time to speak to Judy, because her heart is overflowing as well. So the privilege is blessing we had. So please do that. So Mike summed up camels and goats and sheep, but there was one thing he didn't get to see that Judy and I did. So that was pretty cool. When we first arrived, and about a day or so later, we were headed for the purpose that Judy and I had gone to serve at SIM Missionaries Retreat. It was missionaries who were serving in the north of Ethiopia, and a couple of them were families with kids and single and some other adults. People kept coming and going. It wasn't a big gathering, but wonderful and warm and really cool. So the second night there, I was privileged of sharing devotions with the leadership, that missionary team, and then Judy was looking after the kids, and then I joined her, and we had a blast with kids. In fact, one of the kids rebuked me for telling my age. She says, "Ladies don't usually do that." I said, "I'm just proud I've lived this long." But they were great. Anyway, on the Tuesday night, we started after supper. One of the guys, as a family, decided, "Let's go hyena hunting." Well, we don't want to miss out on that. And believe me, there were no guns. It wasn't that kind of hunting. So we get in our, what do you call the vehicles we drove in?
Land cruiser.
Land cruisers. I always call them the wrong name. So we had six kids on the roof. You don't do that. You know, kind of roof rack, but there's six kids up there. And then there were four or five of us in there. We had flashlights. And so they head off into the dark. And you go down some side roads and don't find any. You come back. I don't even know how they knew where they're going. And go down some other road, dead end, turn around, come back. And then finally we found a herd between 30 and 40 hyenas having the feed. So it was amazing. And a lot of the people there don't think it's amazing because they believe superstitious things about hyenas. So they look at you, why would you want to see a hyena? Because they're evil to them. But these did not look as evil as the ones on Lion King. Believe me, they were fat, plump, healthy, and they were having but busy feed. They didn't even want to move for us, so we chased them a little just so they'd move. But they didn't run away because they had feed. People clear the roadkill and throw it in certain areas knowing the hyenas will clean them up at night. So, because you can imagine those kind of roads, there's everything getting hit. We even found abandoned horses in the middle of the road. You're driving on one side, people are driving the other, and they're just standing there. Just standing there. People will abandon them if they've no more use for them or they're not well, and they'll die standing there. If you don't hit them, and then you don't want to hit them because then they'll claim them so they can charge you for hitting their horse. So we were very careful not to hit any horses or anything. And God blessed us. We didn't have any accidents or any untoward things. And another thing we didn't experience was fear. Like Judy will say that too. We had no fear of anything. So thank you for all of you who prayed. I didn't think I went with fear, but I certainly didn't have it there. It was just amazing. Everywhere we went, I just felt like we were totally in God's hands and we're supposed to be there, and it was such a blessing. For those of you who prayed for stamina and strength, thank you very much. Or those who traveled to Israel with me earlier this year know that I had even had a tough time on that trip. And the fact that I got through 3 weeks there in and out of those land cruisers, oh my, that people were so patient with me, get back and down, not knowing where the ground is. It's so far down, and then we'd be back in the truck. I'd have to do it again. So right now, I could barely walk up there. I'm kind of stiff, but I'll get better. One of the highlights for me was how much time we spent in prayer. It was just incredible. Times from worship in our vehicle, one day with Gurette. If any of you haven't known our background, we were involved with Gurette, who is an FR believer and has been here a number of times and sends his love because he loves OCC, our church family here. And it was his wife who bought us these beautiful out dresses so that we got to the retreat. The ladies could all dress in the FR women's outfit. So that was really special, a gift from her. But anyway, we were once out driving, and Gurette is driving, but he's praying, and then Holy Spirit just filled that vehicle. We were pouring our hearts out in repentance and wanting God to change us and to change our lives, to change our church families and our city. It was incredible time. And then we had our 410 prayers. FSA, the organization that Gurette founded and leads, Friendship Support Association, ministers among the FR with different, all kinds of different ministries to do whatever the communities need. They work with the community. It's not people going in like some NGOs go in and think, "I know what you need," and they start doing stuff. And he just works in dialogue and love, works with people, and they get involved. They have to put something into it to make it their own. So it was really wonderful watching him. So they've started a prayer time called 4:10. They pray at 4:10 every afternoon, wherever they're doing, people that are associated with FSA and the Afar, and pray for the Afar for a couple minutes. So no matter where we were on the road, it's like 4:10, off we go, stop on the side, you know, might be the highway, might be the desert, wherever we were, and we prayed for the Afar. And that's something I know Judy and I really hoping to continue, to pray for the Afar, to pray for our church family here, and to pray for our community. Imagine if we were doing that together, concentratedly, every day, what we would see change in our lives and the people around us. So I really love the 4:10 prayers. We also had the privilege of praying for people in English, not knowing they didn't understand us, but knowing that God's Spirit does. And there were some really blessed times. I think Gret felt bad. The men did the speaking, so we'd often call on us ladies. There were three of us to pray for people in different settings, and that was a real privilege. As Mike said, we had the privilege of being part of the retreat for Afar believers, and that was really a highlight. What wonderful, loving people. That was just so amazing. The women, like, cuddle right in beside me. You know, you have your arm draped around, and you feel something. You think, oh no, it's just somebody touching me, right? They really touch each other and love each other and share, and they were so blessed. We were so blessed to have them. So Judy and I didn't know we'd be sharing at that retreat. So the night before, we were quickly putting notes together for devotionals, two devotionals, and I think that really meant a lot to Judy. She got to share in that aspect as well. People were loving, gracious, good, and one of Gret's themes that I think this resonates for all of us, so it's not just telling a story from when we were away. He's talking about how we need to share the gospel in so many ways. But he said this is absolutely key to sharing the gospel: truth, power, and love. And he said in North America, from what I've witnessed, you're pretty good at truth because we're well grounded and have good teaching, which they're really lacking. And a lot of churches are full of people, but very shallow teaching and experiences amongst, we're not talking now just the Afar, we're talking about in as a whole. And he says, but what you're lacking here is power. You don't walk, you don't preach, you don't live sometimes as much. And he's very gentle, he wasn't criticizing it. But in the power of God, he said, they know a lot there about the power of God, but they really need that truth and love combined that we all need. And so that really meant a lot to me. They're very essential in our lives to share the gospel. And that Jesus must be the center of all we do, that it's all about him. So some highlights from stuff that we did. I just really enjoyed Gret's leadership. It was great. We had lots of joking around. If you've met him, he can be quite funny. And we had a lot of fun with that. We were following a truck one day that was piled high with stuff, not a regular long-distance truck going to Djibouti or something, but a local truck, right? And the bundles on it are like crazy high. So I just asked, I said, how did they get that stuff up there? How did they get all that up there? And he says to me, don't you see what's written on the truck? Do not judge. There was no do not judge written on the truck. I said, I'm not judging, Gret. I'm just asking a question. He says, do not judge. So we passed something else later, and I would say, that's another new do not judge truck, right? And he said, yes. So things he didn't answer was because I think he wants us to go back so we can answer some of our questions next time. So it was really good. And how he loves his people. We went to a retreat, not a retreat, like a conference of Highlanders. Now, Highlanders are just because they live up higher land. It's not like a name. It's not like saying the Baptist Church or, you know, the Alliance. It's like the Highlander Church. It's just everybody that
is not afar.
Yeah, that is not afar. Okay, so if that helps a little bit. So we went to this gathering of Highlanders who are getting more passionate and interested in reaching out to their afar brothers and sister people in their country. They've been afraid of them, and they're convinced they can't be reached, and they had all kinds of stuff. So we walked into that, and Gret was wonderful with them. And what I really was impressed by, Gret never let on the whole time he was there that he is an Afar believer. He didn't think that was relevant. They needed to learn how to reach to the Afar, because somebody asked him, like, why wouldn't you say, like, yes, the Afar can be saved, I'm saved, right, and God's done great things to me? Nope. He just was there to help them come to grips with the underlying reason they don't reach out is the same that we have in our community: fear. They could say it's this, they could say it's that, and everything else, but underlying, it's fear, fear of the unknown. And they want it done a certain way, and don't we all do that? They want the people to be come into their church. But the Afar, Muslim background, you come into a church with a cross, they'll be out of there so fast. The cross means the Crusades. When people came in the name of Jesus and butchered people and killed them years and years ago, and that still lives on. Just having to know the people you're reaching out to. And he really worked with them. Mike and Jay. Yeah. Our team kind of switched partway through. Somebody left. Somebody came. We're the most interesting group. Six of us came home together yesterday, but we'd arrived at four different times, that six. So it was a very shifting group, but everybody was wonderful. I found that we adjusted quickly to each other. There was no selfishness. There was a lot of kindness, patience with me getting out of that vehicle, no long how long they had to wait. Nobody said boo about how long it took me to back out of that vehicle. It was kind of, I thought I would get more limber as time went on. I only got stiffer. So Judy said she'll work with me in her gym. So I expect great things. Anyway, that was some of the highlights for me. Of course, everything being different. I like the consistency in the culture. When you go for coffee, every cup is the same everywhere. These little China cups are this big, and you have coffee. So if it sounded like we drank a lot of coffee, we weren't drinking Tim Hortons extra large. You only had a little cup, right? And that was great. They do not serve coffee except after meals or at a coffee break. They would think you're really strange if you asked for coffee before you ate. They don't know what that is. What is that thing? Why would people want to do that? Because that's not what they do. And Mike mentioned chai, which was really, really wonderful as well. So one day we accidentally had chai and coffee at the same time because we'd ordered chai at the beginning and it never came till the coffee came. So then Gret dubbed that, that's the Canadian way. Well, that's not the Canadian way. I don't usually drink tea and coffee at the same time, one cup each. But he called it the Canadian way just to tease us. So it was wonderful going into all different kinds of the restaurants. A lot of them would be about maybe 8 feet wide.
Yeah.
8 feet wide. Outside there'd be broken plastic chairs or a little stool or something. You make sure it's got four legs before you sit down, and we arrange ourselves, and you'd be in this little wee huddle around, and then order, and then they have a little tiny area that lady would be preparing. Because there were 10 of us, sometimes they didn't have enough, so she'd go over to the shop next door, and she'd get tea from them. Or if we ran out of bread, she'd get bread from her neighbor and bring it over. So it was just, it blows your mind how much they can achieve in such little space. We went to a couple of Muslim restaurants, and one where we actually ate in their bedroom because we arrived as a larger group, and the little wee cafe had no room. So what they do, the bed was back against the wall. They had linoleum at the front, so that could be scrubbed because you're going to. So, and then they threw cushions around, and the 10 of us got in there and, you know, got seated, and they served us. And we actually went back to that one. That guy was really thrilled. He actually handed us a business card. And Gret said, this guy is forward-thinking. He's handing out business cards, right? But they really loved it, and all the people. And if we went back somewhere a second time, people, of course, being how we look, they recognized us and were thrilled that we'd come back again. So a lot of traveling, but a lot of blessing through the conferences, the retreats, our prayer times together. Judy and I spent a lot of time talking about our passions for OCC and praying together and reading the scriptures together, and I just really want that to continue in our lives. So it was a blessing, and thank you again so much, especially for your prayers. If you prayed once when we were gone or if you prayed every day, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Some days I was telling Myrna last night, and I just couldn't feel like you couldn't go on. It wasn't because I didn't like anything doing, I just couldn't. That's when I'd stop and pray, Lord, thank you for all those prayer partners back home, and could you remind some of them right now to pray? And I did that a few times, and then it's renewed strength and just keep going. So it was an incredible experience. But the most of all is that people around the world all need Jesus, and they're designed to reach their neighbors, and they kind of wonder why we don't reach ours as better than we do. So I just really challenged by that, and thankful for all of you. So thank you.
Hey, Ken. Yeah, thank you for praying for us as a whole team. not only those of us from OCC who went, but from Adam at Gentle Shepherd and Matthew, who's a young electrician from Stainer, who's looking at missions as future direction. Jay and Jody from Mapleview, Simon, who's from SIM, his son and his daughter were there for part of the trip, and we had SIM and FSA staff traveling with us sometimes, including a young couple who just the day we came home had just been officially appointed as SIM Ethiopian missionaries to the Afar. And that is super exciting to see somebody from Ethiopia with a heart and passion to reach out. Pray for us as we continue to adjust. I was up about 3 this morning, and I noticed that Jody from Mapleview was posting pictures because she couldn't sleep either. So it's going to be a bit of adjustment. But God is at work among the Afar. And for those of you who don't know an awful lot, let me just give you a quick overview. The Afar are a semi-nomadic people group. That means they move twice, maybe 3 times during the course of the year. They're primarily cattle and camel and goat herders, and though in some areas they're growing sugar cane and dates and other crops, they live primarily out in the lowlands, the desert of Ethiopia and up into Djibouti and Eritrea. There are approximately 2 million Afar. You can't do a census because they're out in the middle of nowhere. So approximately 2 million Afar, and the best estimate is there might be 400 believers among them. So very much a people group that hasn't yet come to know the Lord. They're primarily Muslim in their background, but it's often mixed with a lot of superstition, and it's a lot more cultural than any sort of understanding of practice and faith. And when I told Afar believers that we as a church had been praying for them for the last 5 or 6 years, they were just overwhelmed with thankfulness. And so let me encourage you to keep on praying for them, because the power of prayer is so powerful. Janice mentioned the FSA, Friendship Support Association, and they do a tremendous... there's 2 wings, because you need to separate your support type stuff from the spiritual stuff, because Ethiopia is essentially still a communist country, though the current prime minister is a believer and doing some amazing things. When we were in Bahrdar, the prime minister of Ethiopia had pulled together the president of Eritrea and the president of Somalia, and the 3 of them were meeting together for only the 2nd time in history. So that's an incredible breakthrough in terms of some peace in that part of the world. And so FSA, they do emergency food and water distribution. They're actually drilling a couple of deep wells this week. They have health education for women, women's education programs, adult literacy. The people are essentially illiterate, but they're developing ways of teaching them language, and always doing it in an Afar context, using language and imagery that's appropriate to them. As teaching at this Afar retreat, and I use the phrase that we're children of God, and Garrett took the next 5 minutes. Because he says that's a foreign concept, because God has no children. And so in order to understand a Muslim, for them to understand that, he had to go through a whole background. And he gave them an Old Testament summary in five minutes and work through that. And so they're very careful in terms of being able to teach and able to do that. Janice mentioned the 4:10 prayer, and that is really become sort of a foundational outreach, foundational way of covering the Afar over the last couple of years. They've been doing this now. And so every day, 4:10, they stopped whatever they were doing and prayed. So we're going up the equivalent of our 407. It was a toll road, and it was 4:10. So we just pulled off on the side of the road and went down in the ditch a little bit, and we prayed. Other times we went under a tree. You notice the background to the slides that we're singing this morning. That's a tree in the afar. And so we didn't, that was one from a previous time I was there, but that's where we would sometimes stop to pray under a tree. So let me encourage you to 4:10, which is 8:10 in the morning, our time. Pardon? Yeah. So for 4:10 p.m. in Ethiopia, it's 8:10 in the morning here in Aurelia. So if you want to pray at the same time our brothers and sisters in FSA are praying, that's a good time. So pray for the afar and pray for OCC and for Aurelia. Let me show you a couple of slides quickly. There was three nights that we slept outdoors. The top one it was a hotel. That was an official hotel. And we slept outdoors in the courtyard with mosquito netting over us. All around the buildings surrounding the courtyard, there were monkeys screaming at us as we're getting ready. And so that was one night. The other two other nights, we slept in a far courtyard. And so we're driving along, and Gret says, let's see whether we can stop here. Gret had no idea who these people were, and just pulled in, and he went and talked to the household head, and he gave us permission to set up our sleeping bags and a tarp, and we slept out in his yard, and you can see him sitting up there, and he slept out that night, both nights with us. When we came back a week later, and he welcomed us. And that night, he and Gret had an interesting conversation because he heard us speaking a different language and wanting to know language. And it just began Gret to have an opening to begin to share with him. It was really, really exciting. You know, I'm not sure how many of us, you know, if a group of 10 people knocked on your door and said, can we set up our tents or our sleeping bags in your front yard this morning or this evening? No, we probably wouldn't do that. But they were so welcoming. It was a little strange as there's this big circle all around us as we're getting ready for bed and setting things up and just staring at us, wondering who are these strange white people. But it was a really good experience. Is there another slide there, Heather? Yes. Okay. There's a couple of prayer times. So the one on this side here, we'd just gone down into the desert, and we pulled off on the side of the road. Parts are very, very rocky. We're sort of scrunched under the tree because it wasn't a very tall tree, and it had all sorts of thorns on it. You know the verse that talks about put a hedge of protection around somebody, and you think, you know, couldn't God do something more than a hedge? Well, when you see the hedges in the desert with acacia spikes, which are an inch and a half, 2 inches long, you understand that a hedge of protection is pretty good. One of the guys got up to go to the bathroom in the night and was coming back, and he missed where the entrance was. And you just heard this voice, "You got to be kidding." Over here, we are out in the real sandy desert at the Sunday afternoon. Temperature's probably about 39 degrees Celsius, and we're out there. We had gone, you can see a bit of a sand dune in the background, and we had written one-word reflections on our prayers for the afar people. And I was up near the top, and Janice was down near the bottom. And really interesting, she wrote the same word as I did. So finally, we've connected after 40 years. We start to think alike. The word was hope. We both wrote the word hope. And so just a bit of a picture of some of the things. There's much more we can say, but I want to take just a couple of minutes, a few minutes to share some thoughts from God's Word. Janice mentioned one of the emphases that came out of our whole time, and often, no matter what the teaching was, whether it was with the Afar or whether it was the Highlanders down in Logia, if we go back to the map with all the circles on it, Heather, Logia is that red circle way at the top, right close to Djibouti. And that was about a 10-hour drive from Awash, which is the center dot. Along not too bad a road. That was a pretty good road. Or when was out in this dot far over here. So the distance from Bahardar, which is on the Lake Tana, I'm not sure how far that is exactly, but it took us about 7 hours to get there, including going up and down about five river valleys to get there. The Tim Fellows, who's the missionary there, he drives a Land Cruiser like all NGOs drive. He gets maybe 20,000 kilometers out of a set of tires. That gives you some idea of the condition of the road at $450 a pop. So you understand the expense of being a missionary in some rural area. So because you need good tires. But one of the verses that kept coming in all of the teaching contexts was 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And that just kept coming back, whether Jay or myself was teaching on that, or Adam and I were teaching on the Afar retreat, as we come into a prayer time, that was a verse that often became a clear, powerful part of our prayer time. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. I was one of the times I was in Acts chapter 3. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. And it's interesting, the word in the Greek is as they were going. It's the same idea that Jesus used when he told his disciples before he ascended in heaven, as you are going, make disciples. See, it's not about special events necessarily, but it's in the midst of what we do. And so Peter and John were going up to the temple daily to pray. That's what they did as they were going. As we go to our small groups, our care groups, as you're going to 410 prayer, as you're going, make disciples. And as they were going, and so they have the opportunity to pray for this man, and they declare in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't have silver and gold, because he was begging. This man was begging and asking for money. And they said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. And the authorities don't like that, because the Jewish people, Jewish authorities, thought he was declaring himself to be equal with God. The political authorities didn't like that, because they thought he was declaring himself to be over Caesar. And Caesar was the only Lord. And so when we begin to live out of the power of who Jesus is, when we begin to live the words that we sang this morning in terms of I believe in the resurrection, which is so transformative for everything. You know, I was teaching the book of Acts in the Bible college, and we kept coming back to that. It's the resurrection of Jesus that transforms, that is so transformative for our lives. And so Peter and John get thrown in jail. They get set free. They're told, don't preach anymore about this. And meanwhile, the rest of the believers, they're back, and they're praying for them. And let me just read part of their prayer. And where are we? Acts chapter 3. No, we're Acts chapter 4. Getting the right chapter helps. And so they said, they're praying. They said, Sovereign Lord, You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand. The rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed one. And so then they begin to apply that in their prayers. And they say, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your Holy Spirit, Jesus, your Holy Servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will had decided beforehand should happen. So they're telling God what their condition is, what the situation is, and they're lifting all that up before God. And then listen to how they pray. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They didn't say, keep us safe. They didn't pray, protect us, Lord. They said, enable us to speak your word, your truth, with great boldness. See, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. And that can mean so many things. And I think, as I was reflecting on this last couple of weeks, I think in North America, that spirit of fear and timidity often gets reshaped in North American context in terms of our introvert-extrovert conversation. And so we tend to easily label ourselves introverts. And I'm not saying there's not a difference between introverts and extroverts. But I think some of the time anyways, we label ourselves introverts because basically we're scared stiff of opening our mouths and talking about who Jesus is. And there's a time coming, not too far from now, too long from now, when it's going to be increasingly difficult to speak the name of Jesus in a powerful way. And church, we need to get used to speaking the truth and declaring who Jesus is in ways that connect with people. You know, to go up and to confront someone and say, have you heard the good news of Jesus? You're going to hell. You know, that's not going to cut it in our culture. But looking for those creative ways, those ways where we can speak the truth that connect with people so that God can do his work. Because you and I, we're not going to save anybody. But God does it. He works in us. God's not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. He's given us a spirit of power. It's not our power, it's His power that works in us. As we pray for people, as God gives insight into people who are controlled by the demonic, controlled by their past, controlled by their history, controlled by others, that God gives us a spirit of loving those people. You know, one of the things that North American church has done really terrible over the last 50 years is we treat people as projects. And so we'll pray for somebody and we'll invite people. And if they don't respond right away, we tend to write them off and go someplace else. No, it's one of the things that's so obvious in the ministry among the afar is that people, believers, are loving on their neighbors. Janice was sharing with me in one of their groups with the women. The women said, we need to be kind. We need to be kind to our neighbors. We need to be kind to others. And that gives opportunity to begin to share the incredible good news of Jesus that transforms, that changes life. He gives us not a spirit of fear and timidity, but power of love and self-discipline. Self-discipline to pray regularly. Self-discipline to be in the Word regularly. Self-discipline to be worshiping both on our own and together. Because we really do need one another. It takes all of us to be able to minister and to care and to reach out to our world, our city, our culture, and to be able to do it in a way that Jesus can work in us and work through us for His glory so that His kingdom expands. You know, isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? He said, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And we want people of all ages, all over the city and all over this area, all over Ethiopia, to come and to a life-changing, life-transforming relationship with Jesus. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the opportunity you've given a number of us, Judy and Janice and Jeremy and Don and myself and the other members of the team to be there in Ethiopia and to see what you're doing in that place. Lord, it's exciting. But Lord, we pray that you would do what you want to do in this place. and in our community. Lord, I pray that just as we pray for your Spirit to break in and to break through and to minister powerfully, in particularly in the afar. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would break in and break through and minister powerfully and creatively here in Orillia. And we would see many come to know you and see their lives changed by you. And that, Lord, thank you for the promises of your word. And that you promise, you've declared, I have not given you a spirit of fear and timidity. That's a verse for every person here who's a believer. If you are a follower of Jesus, that verse is true for you. God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And God wants you to walk in that. And God wants you to live in that. And God wants you to be transformed by that truth and by that power and by that love. And so, Father, thank you that you can do all that you want to do as we make ourselves available to you, as we open ourselves up to you. And so, Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Orillia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.